adjourned. All right, we're rolling.
Good evening to you and welcome to this special meeting of Orville City Council here on August 2nd, 2021. I'll now call the meeting to order. If the clerk will please call the roll.
Hamburg.
Here.
Asparis.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Mosley.
Excuse.
Boyd.
Here.
Widmer.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Thank you. We will proceed in our agenda then to old business. Mr. Morrison.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 2721. I move this resolution be placed on third reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hamburg.
Spirit.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Boyd.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Resolution 2721. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into an agreement and or agreements to purchase through the State of Ohio Cooperative Purchasing Program one Vermeer track mini skid steer, or alternatively to purchase an equivalent piece of equipment from another dealer upon equivalent terms, conditions, and specifications, but at a lower price than that can be purchased through state contract, through the state contract as allowed by Ohio Revised Code Section 125.04, and declaring an emergency.
Any questions, discussion? Seeing none, are you ready to vote?
I move Resolution 2721 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Larson.
Yes.
Boyd.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
All eyes motion passes.
Thank you.
Resolution 2821. I move this resolution be placed on second reading. On third reading.
I'll second.
Second, Mrs. Foy.
Boyd.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
All eyes, passes.
Resolution 2821, a resolution authorizing the City of Orville, Ohio Safety Service Director to enter into an agreement with the Orville Area Boys and Girls Club, OABGC, for a grant to assist with salary and training a teen coordinator slash director position at OABGC, and declaring an emergency.
Any questions or discussion? Ready to vote.
I move Resolution 2821 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hamburg.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Boyd.
Yes.
All eyes motion passes.
Thank you.
Resolution 2921. I move this resolution be placed on second reading.
Second, Mrs. Widmer.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Boyd.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
All eyes motion passes.
Resolution 2921, a resolution authorizing the receipt of property from the Orville Historical Society and declaring an emergency.
Questions, discussion on this one?
This is a resolution that's been discussed at length in committee meetings. We actually delayed it for a time to do further research on it and whatnot. This is the second reading, and we've had no external comment. I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
I'll second.
Second, Mrs. Ford.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
All eyes motion passes.
Thank you.
I move Resolution 2921 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hamburg.
Asparis?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hambrick?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Thank you. That concludes our old business. We'll move on now to new business. Mr. Worsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 3021. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second. Mr. Spiros.
Larson?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hambrick?
Yes.
Spiros?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Resolution 3021. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into an agreement and or agreements through a federal or state purchasing cooperative contract to purchase a mobile camera system, cameras, associated equipment, cabling, data storage, and installation, or alternatively, to contract with another company upon equivalent terms, conditions, and specifications, but at a lower price than it can be contracted through the federal or state contract as allowed by Ohio Revised Code Section 125.04.
Any questions? Discussion?
Mr. President, if I may, we did have a workshop on this. Hopefully we answered most of the questions then. I did ask Chief Birkbeck if he would give a kind of an abbreviated version of what we're proposing here so that it's reflected in the minutes and the public can kind of see what this proposal is before everyone fears we're going to do radar on traffic cameras and start sending tickets.
And to kind of expand on what Director Wheeler just said, we do have new data based on being able to do field testing with some of the equipment that we didn't have before, so we actually got to see in real world how this would operate. Really, this project kicked off when Councilman Mosley approached me in February or early spring, late winter, asking about a camera system that he had seen in place in Worcester. And that led to some research into area camera systems. Notably, we checked out Canton's. That was where we initiated our initial research into those systems. We were able to compare three different companies. The pricing wasn't close. For those of you who were in the workshop, there was considerable price difference and legacy costs in particular with the one company, the next competitor. We were able to field test for now. It's been, what would you say now, well over a month since we've been field testing the very first camera. We've looked at three different models. Each of them have different capabilities. The first model that we tested was a very nice model. It has a four-way camera, but you have a limited field of view and the clarity isn't the same as the 4K, particularly late at night. So you're looking at almost night vision with that first test model, whereas the other one gathers so much light that it's in color. So that we did learn from that. Real recently, we were able to evaluate the bullet camera, is what it's called. It's more of a traditional looking camera, and that has plate reading capabilities. It's not a dedicated plate reader. It has the capability of plate reading. And there's a difference. There are dedicated plate readers that you would see in areas such as on highways, at toll booths. Those are dedicated, and those are very expensive pieces of equipment. There are certainly environmental limitations to those cameras, but they are also they worked surprisingly well. We were actually very surprised at how well those work. They add a component to the camera system in having an overview camera, and then you might be able to see the description of the car, but you may not know who that car belongs to. And by having the license plate reader camera there, it does not run your plate through the state. It does not automatically run your plate through the state. That we can't do that in Ohio. And I don't know of any states where you can do it, where it taps into the state. It doesn't do that. All you get is a photograph of the rear of the car. And then you're able to say, okay, this overview camera shows the car going through the intersection. This other camera shows the rear plate. It would be up to the police to have legitimate law enforcement reason to run that through the state system. So you can't just arbitrarily pick a plate and not have any criminal justice reason. You are going to be in very hot water if you do that. That there's actually state law against that. We could lose our license to have leads. It's a very serious penalty for running those plates without a legitimate law enforcement purpose. With that said, I do have, since that time, we've had some minor success stories, and as recently as this morning, probably one that showed the most promise in the capability. Now, this is not a big case, and actually, I'm more interested in the small cases. I'm actually more interested in solving things that we would have never been able to solve before, and this one involves a gas drive-off. And typically, in years past, I mean, for the longest time, if a gas station calls us up and they have a gas drive-off, not only our agency, but virtually every agency, it's, well, there's not much we can do for you because you turned on your gas pumps and you allowed that person to fuel up without getting, we recommend that you get the prior approval. So Officer Mace was actually, this was last Wednesday, I dispatched this, and he came back to the station and reported to us that the vehicle had gone westbound on High Street, and that's where our test camera was, up there by the CVS intersection at High and Main, and said, is there any chance that the camera caught the vehicle? And the vehicle was on camera. We did see the camera, and we were able to actually look historically and see a handful of times where this vehicle had been through that intersection, so it led me to believe that this was a local vehicle. But it had never gone northbound, and northbound was where that plate reader was. And this kind of highlights where the missing piece of the puzzle, the importance of those plate readers, because we have a very distinct vehicle. In fact, I was able to determine that this was between the 2000 and 2003 Chevy Malibu, and it was kind of gold in color. It had very distinct rims. It had paint damage on the hood of the car. So Sunday night rolls around, and I've been making adjustments to the camera settings to adjust, the quality. And at night, I have to switch on a setting so that I'm just testing to make the cameras better at night. I've done doing different things. And I thought, well, I'll just take a look and see if that vehicle went through. And lo and behold, it did. It went through, and it had gone northbound. And lo and behold, it clear as day is that plate. And so I notified Captain Pauly, I think we have the vehicle. And again, this isn't the crime of the century. We don't necessarily want the crime of the century if we can avoid it. But we ended up, so they alerted me this morning, high fives, popped champagne, that Ryan Mace went down to the gas station that ran the plate, because we have a legitimate law enforcement purpose. And not only, this wasn't an accidental drive-off. This wasn't one where somebody was over there. They drove off intentionally, and he was able to determine that and sent the case over to the prosecutor's office. It'll be up to them whether they prosecute. Another ridiculously simple, but again, these are what we've had in the past 30 days. We had a traffic crash, which those of you who were in that meeting, we had a crash and it was disputed, and we were able to solve it because of the test camera. In addition, we had, and this is, again, for those of us who are part of the community, it's these little things that are mysteries at times, but at other times, this helped us solve something that would have been a mystery. We had Mylar balloons hung on our decorative poles, and I just decided, well, there's one right there, right at the camera. Let's find out what happened. Let's just see what it was about. And it narrowed it right down. There's the balloon, there's not the balloon. At 10 o'clock in the morning, at noon, I narrowed it right down to 11:30. Nice looking lady went out and hung it, probably to denote the path to a party or to get to Orr Park or whatever. But we have her on glorious 4K TV hanging a Mylar balloon on our pole, and from a white Dodge Ram. One last story. Friday, get a call. I'm on patrol, and I'm out at Main and High, and dispatch is dispatching one of our officers to a white Dodge Ram coming into town driving recklessly, high rate of speed, very distinct description, you know, it's a white Ram, dually, high rate of speed coming into Orville Trucking and Grading. I'm right there, so I jump the call, I go down there, and as I get towards city limits, I'm thinking this vehicle should have passed me by now. It definitely should have passed, but anyway, I pulled in, took up a position alongside the road, and as time went by, I thought, well, it had to have passed me by now, but I was right there when the call came in, so I was able to just pull up on the computer, the camera from down there, and look and go back 8 minutes. It has three times speed capability, so in like 3 minutes' time, I was able to go through 10 minutes worth of footage and it never came by. It never had gone up there. In fact, I saw myself responding to the scene, so I was able to determine that that vehicle, if in fact it was a true, you know, assuming that the report was true, there was enough detail to believe it was, and I can't really see a motive for them to have faked it. They just didn't make it into work. But it's those little daily things like that, and there are other things that I want to emphasize, that if somebody's falsely accused of something, this is something that we can clear that. Maybe somebody has something that happens at their on their property, and they think of an instance where they had a dispute with somebody at work, or maybe their kids have a dispute with a kid at school, and you know, it's not always used for prosecution. Maybe the officer goes out and can vouch that this vehicle didn't come into your neighborhood, or this vehicle didn't, this person was where they said they were. And again, there's many other uses for this that don't involve an arrest or a prosecution. Whether you may have somebody that has Alzheimer's and has wandered off or driven, we've had those. And in fact, my wife, being well aware of this program being underway, had mentioned that somebody had put on Facebook that their elderly family member, now this was in the Worcester area, but she says, would that be something where you could check your camera and see if that person had come through? Absolutely. And it, you know, it didn't register that he came through, and they found him, he was okay. But those are other uses. And so just wanted to highlight those things. I don't want to take all night, but I'm, you know, I feel like there is a lot of information that I can share. I'd be willing to answer any questions that you have as far as what the usage. I would be remiss not to say that Lexapol, for those of you who might not be familiar with the term Lexapol, that is a company that we contract out that provides us with stock. And Director Kirkbride, you can jump in if I mischaracterize this, but they provide us with best practices policies. And they are a very big key to us being an Ohio Collaborative certified agency. And lo and behold, they do have a four-page policy on how agencies should use public safety video systems, and so I have that queued up. I would say it's probably 98% to 99% ready. I would want to wait to see all the features of the system to make sure that I'm not missing something that shouldn't be addressed in the policy. So if there's something that's not here that's unique to this system that needs to be addressed, I would address it, but it does provide guidance for how the system would be used and who would be available to access it. And there are different levels of access. There's administrator level who can assign roles, and then there's a general user, which would typically be all of our police officers, which has search capabilities. And then there's just a live footage use access. And that's what I think adds some value to it, where we could share this to other members of our city administration, such as Ryan Immel or Dan Lau, where it's live only, it's not searchable. And you can actually even restrict the amount of time. You can send a temporary link that's only good for an hour or 4 hours, and then it expires. So I think there's some use there that would actually even supersede law enforcement purposes. For instance, the dead of winter, I think we could all imagine that Ryan might appreciate having access to the cameras and not having his guys have to go out and unnecessarily go out an hour or two early when, you know, we all know Ohio weather forecasts are usually pretty far off, and rather than everybody crawl out of bed at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning because a snowstorm is supposed to be coming he would be able to check in and say, you know what, we could probably wait to our normal start time. So I know it was a little bit long-winded. Hopefully it's as much information as you need, but I'm willing to answer any questions you have.
Chief, can you tell them about the mobile camera system, which we've added into the proposal?
So also as part of this, there's the ability to, you know, you won't, there'll always be some place that you can't think of where it might be useful. And there's a trailer that has a boom. Do you remember how high the boom is, or do we not know that yet?
I believe it's an 8-foot boom.
So an 8-foot boom that would have cameras mounted on it. I'm thinking of the most obvious use cases would be at our various festivals. Potentially, I would certainly be happy to utilize this at football games, basketball games, where we could add security to the parking lot, where people would feel safer parking out there. I think we're heading into that time of year where, of course, now we have two rivalry weeks for football. We have the Worcester week and the Tryway week, and it's both ends of the season. I know the first year that happened, that was a surprise to us when Worcester hit us hard. We didn't think about the fact that Worcester was no longer the last game of the season and Tryway was our new rival. So now we've got two weeks in particular. So it gives us the ability to react to things that are happening. If it turns out that we're having, a great example is if we feel like we're having issues with the catalytic converter thefts in a particular alley or a particular residential area, we'd be able to put that there. That's one of those crimes that I'm really anxious that I feel like we're going to be able to solve, because we've come this close before, and I feel like it really plagues our county. You know, Worcester gets hit pretty heavily. It just kind of goes in stretches. We recently had out on the north end of town a few catalytic converters taken off of cars, and it happens in a minute, and they do it in broad daylight. They don't do it in the dead of night. They do it in broad daylight because that's when they blend in the best. They just pull up next to a car, slide under it. They've got a hand tool, and they cut that off, and it's $2,000. So,
Chief, I stand corrected. The boom is 20 feet tall.
20 feet. Okay. So, but that gives us that capability. Obviously, you've got the 4th of July. You've got Rib Fest, you have other festivals where that would add. And, you know, there's times when even something as simple as when they have blooming Orville flowers left out overnight, oftentimes we're asked to give extra patrol. It'd be nice to be able to have something where we just set that down there and be a deterrent. The ideal being, I would characterize it a lot like our speed sign program where, you know, the speed sign is there. It's not there for enforcement purposes. That's not at all what we want it to do. What we want it to do is to slow people down. And this camera program, I don't envision it to be an enforcement tool. I envision it to be a deterrence. That's it. So.
Chief. Go ahead.
Okay. You mentioned the 4th of July. Is there a concern with when Wi-Fi gets so overwhelmed at that point? Would this
Absolutely.
Be on priority, the Wi-Fi of the cameras?
It'll be hardline, actually. These are going to be, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it actually hardwires into our internet on the pole.
So the mobile trailer will have the ability to use a cradle point, which is your cell phone technology, and also tie it directly to the Ubiquiti network if we need to be installed the power of all the other cameras in town. So it'd be a private network. In that situation, we want to be on the Ubiquiti network with the mobile trailer. But as you know, the cell phone signals go down.
So what you're saying is that it shouldn't be an issue.
We hope. We hope. I don't want to tell you something and then find out that you know, that's the wrong answer. But the goal would be to bypass the cell phone capability and hardline it in. So.
It is going to have its own Ubiquiti permanently mounted on.
Chief, how many cameras, how many locations?
So what we have counted, and the locations is hard because they blend together. So we're counting certainly an intersection as a different location. The park gets a little blurry because we've got a bunch in the park and on the bike trail. I think we came up with 30 locations, a total of 86 cameras. There would be four on the trailer. Is that correct? Two,
two 4K cameras and two license plate readers on the camera.
So, counted 30 locations, but some of those locations are really close, like the school area. That's a high priority. I don't count that as one area. I count Mineral Springs, Mineral and Elm, Mineral and Hostetler. We really focused on having the park and the school bracketed in, and then the bike trail as well. We've got two on the trail, on both ends of the bike trail, down at the Blackwell Williams property. But yeah, there's to simplify, it would be, as you go down Main Street, virtually every place where there's a traffic light, and I do want to emphasize and make this clear, I know I've said this, but we don't even have the capability of writing a speeding ticket with this technology. You have to have a certain type of radar with that, and then you also have to have an ordinance, I believe, to make it a civil penalty. So we don't have the ability yet. It would take an act of you folks to tell us that that's what you want, and I would say that you would probably have an opposition from me because I'm not in favor of camera enforcement. However, I want to clarify, if somebody has a traffic accident and we can't solve that, we would certainly base a citation on what happened on that traffic accident. But we're not going to sit there and look for red light violations or any other. But let me get back to your question. So there's 30 locations. Most of the locations are where there are traffic signals. And then, as you know, Crown Hill doesn't have mirroring traffic signals. So we tried, our goal was to mirror along that kind of that ladder type model, both sides of town, and then split the town down the middle, Elm Street, Ella Street, again, the focal point being the park and the school area where we wanted to make sure that that area was very safe.
The trailer, can you pull that behind a cruiser? Do you have to have
the intent street? Was that, and that I certainly think we have the ability to modify that, but our goal is with those SUVs that they have trailer hitches that we just saddle it up to the trailer hitch. Our preference, at least for sure early on, is to limit who does that. We would make sure that probably an officer who's very familiar with hooking up trailers, because I don't foresee this being something where you have to make that multiple times in a shift or anything like that. I think it's certainly one that has some planning and utilize officers who are very familiar with towing. But I expect this to be a pretty small trailer myself. I would expect it to be one of the very small ones.
Okay.
Like a single axle utility trailer that maybe somebody would take the riding lawnmower from a repair shop on, roughly that size.
This isn't a monitored system. There's no one sitting there looking at monitors.
That's a great question. Something and I'm glad you brought it up because I was prepared for that particular question. You're right. This is a retroactive. This is we have a purpose to go and look at this system. One point that I left out was we have about 26 city cameras already that are piped into to the dispatch, or not the dispatch center, where the dispatch center formerly was. So we have around 26 between Work Park and City Hall. And then we also have a school district that is piped into the police department. And we counted today 108 cameras just between Orville High School and Orville Elementary School. And the middle school, we didn't count because it's down for maintenance right now. So just kind of splitting the difference there, we're guessing another 50 cameras from there. So we're probably in the neighborhood of 150 school cameras that we monitor. Monitor is not really the right word because we don't sit there and watch those. We just don't. It's not really a good use of time. Now, some agencies have, like for instance, Canton, they have a real-time crime center because they have a lot of crime. And it's worthwhile to have somebody sit there. It really wouldn't be a worthwhile endeavor for us at most times to have somebody dedicated to just sitting there and watching, you know, things happen, cars drive by. It just really wouldn't be a great use of resources over time. What I would expect with this is a lot of interest early on as it's something new and the officers learn how to use it. A And then I would kind of see it kind of fade into the background as a tool that when something happens where, like, for instance, the gas drive-off, where the officer says, I can utilize that. And obviously, in a very serious case, and we've had some examples where we could utilize it in, you know, we would bring people in specifically to pour over the footage to track somebody down who committed, you know, a very serious crime. So.
And I think the other point to make is it can only be used in a public space. It's not something we can shine in someone's living room and see if there's illegal activity or anything like that.
Correct.
How would public records requests work with this type of
footage? That's a great question, and it's a public record. It is. And, you know, to be honest, though, in public records for me has always been counterintuitive. It's been taking years for me to quite grasp the idea. But this is the public's record. This is, we are just the custodians of these records. They have a right to these records. And really, unless there's something on there that was, that involved identifying an uncharged suspect, somebody who we didn't arrest, so if they wanted footage, the logical thing you would expect would be like one of the news channels, after we investigated something, wanting that footage. And you're gonna find out that more and more police agencies are actually going ahead and releasing that footage anyway. But we do have the right to withhold that if we feel that's gonna, well, you have an obligation not to reveal an uncharged suspect, but also if it was gonna harm a criminal investigation. However, the flip side is, if there is none of that involved, there is something with juveniles, the identity of juveniles, that we would potentially have to redact, but we couldn't not release it. We would redact the identity of juveniles. And I do want to add one other thing. In Ohio, you cannot record a conversation between two parties if you're not part of it. So there will be no audio recording involved in this. That there's no audio that can be. We had to actually, when we installed the park cameras, they had that capability, and it dawned on us, and this is years and years ago, but it occurred to us, and we cannot have audio. Ohio, that prohibits the wiretapping provisions of Ohio law.
Chief, remind me, do we have like a retention policy? Back to Carrie's question, it's public record, you know, pursuant to our retention policy, so long as the request is received within that time.
But so the retention is based on what the city hall capabilities are, which is not very many days. It's like 3 or 7 days. This is going to be a 30-day. Now, just for full transparency, if you have the record, you have to turn it over,
right?
Even if your retention says that it's shorter than that. So we know that it's going to be a 30-day retention on these records. So.
Chief, just to ease people's minds, the Mylar balloon lady gets out of prison next week.
Community service.
Yeah.
But and I told that story only because, you know, you look for these, you know, it's hard to manufacture something in your mind and see how this would work. It actually, even though it was very minor stuff like that, you could extrapolate any number of scenarios where something more significant happened, where this is how you would located and what you would see, the results. It's interesting to see the capabilities. So.
It did work very well, and the clarity of the picture is great, like you said. It's very easy to see.
It's really, these are 4K cameras, and it's really surprising the difference, how pixelated somebody becomes with a 1080p across the street from, and we've always lamented this, when we go to certain places and their security camera footage, they can have somebody right there, and you've probably seen this on television or whatever, you wouldn't recognize from me to Director Wheeler, you can't recognize who they are. And then other systems, most notably, I remember when Bueller's got their system and shoplifting went away really quick, and Bueller's put the actual picture of their, they put a video feed up in the service center. When you walked in, you knew you were on camera, and shoplifting just went away there. It used to be something we routinely went there and took reports for, and really made a difference.
Thank you.
just to summarize on the federal or on the funding side, obviously the delay for this legislation was a result of us wanting to wait for the federal fund. We received the finance director, and I believe that this purchase is eligible under the federal funds under a provision, which is the potential reduction of crime. Any tools related to that function, it makes it eligible. I would be kicked under the table by the finance director if I didn't say that if these are not clearly written language, they could come back and say, nope, you have to get reimbursed the money. So I just need to throw that exemption out there just in case that were to happen so that we didn't get bid on it later. But we believe it's eligible the way it's written. It's eligible, but you never know until someone comes in and says, yeah, that's not what we meant by that. But so just wanted to mention that.
Steve, how much is the whole ball of wax?
With the camera, it ended up being
$288.
$268.
$268.
$915.
Yeah, just under
$270.
Okay.
So, and, oh, go ahead, Greg. I was just going to ask, so if we do get the federal funding, would it be the 3-year that we were looking at?
That's correct. That was a part I wanted to mention as well. Yes, because it's federal funds, they have a requirement in there that any purchases eligible only are extended into 2024. So as a result, we were only able to negotiate a 3-year contract on this. It doesn't prevent us from extending that contract whenever we want. But at this point, it only allows through the 2024. So it's a 3-year contract through the Federal Purchasing Cooperative.
Is there any way to clarify that yes, it is covered or no, it's not?
Not really. I guess ultimately, it's a matter of if it's ever audited.
Yeah, it's federal guidance.
Yeah, so.
But do you feel strongly, I guess?
What, it's under the frequently asked questions, and it says funds can be used to prevent and respond to crime and support public safety. And so we're going on the notion that we have had a rise in crime, particularly murders. We talked about that. There's 3, correct? Unfortunately. And so when you look back at our previous history, so that's what we're basing this on. Rising crime and gun violence during the pandemic or following the pandemic. And so we're investing in new technology and equipment to allow the police to pursue those things and more efficiently respond to that rise in crime.
So it seems that we align pretty well with that description, right?
I believe we do. Again, okay. It's always up to an auditor, yeah. And we can always appeal that.
Okay.
It's just, and this guidance could change again. It could, as that's what happened with CARES. It was very broad, and the longer the year went on, it became more specific and more specific. So they didn't ever pull back and say, no, that's not what we meant at all. It seemed like they honed in more.
Okay, thanks.
Is there then a contingency plan to pay for it if this isn't paid for with federal money?
I do have money budgeted in the 2022 budget for cameras.
Okay.
So, of course, we wouldn't hear anything from the, if the feds were to come in, it would be later on, so the money would be there.
Okay.
My plan was to leave it in there, just knowing that there is a small chance, but I also just want to make sure everyone's on the same page on that, just in case that were to happen.
Okay.
That we all understand that there is always that potential, though I believe it's fairly slim that Orville jumps on the Fed's radar on a couple $100,000 radar purchase, considering the amount of money that some of the other communities are getting. So,
and then I think my last question is there an urgency to it? I mean, is
Chief, you want to answer that?
The two concerns that I have, two and a potential third concern I have as far as timing goes. The first and foremost concern that I have is if weather impacts us with this install. We've got our installer, because of his insurance carrier, we have tried to keep costs down to utilize him and our utility as well. And there are some rules as far as our wires go that our installers can't get up on our poles, and that makes sense to everybody. So there is going to be some coordination as we get into rougher weather into the fall, I would be concerned about that. The other thing, kind of a more recent thing, and I think we can all relate to this, who knew that COVID was going to start to take the turn that it's taking, and what impact is this going to have? Our Turnkey Solutions, is that the name of that? Turnkey Technologies, the installer there. Really the component that he has the most concern about are the ubiquities. He feels like he needs to, he told us as recently as this morning, he needs to know so that he could get on, start to track down these ubiquity antennas. Lastly, a little bit of a different one, but worthwhile one for everyone to be aware of, is we're in the process of trying to hire a school crossing guard. Certainly that area where the school crossings are at, or where we have significant focus on our cameras down there. And we haven't had any applicants at all. And so technology may end up being something that we might have to look at in the near future with crosswalks and lighting and moving those signs that we currently have on order, more of those traffic signs, putting them more permanently down there to shore up that particular intersection if we're not able to get anybody to apply. And we weren't able to get anybody to apply for security this summer, all summer long in the park. We didn't get anybody to come to work for us for the first year. Obviously the pandemic, we didn't have anybody, but that was a different reason. But this year, it's the first year since we started park security that we just couldn't get anybody to apply. So the concern is we will not be able to fill that position. And so again, it would be nice, for those reasons, it would be nice to act sooner rather than later, because I would be concerned that we would, one, get into bad weather, and maybe two, potentially shutdowns, supply line issues where it would drag. Then we would get into the dead of winter. But
does the supplier indicate to you that the hardware is available now? I mean,
he indicated particularly concerns about the ubiquity. And he actually talked to Captain Paul. I'll let you characterize what he told you about what he would need to do with the ubiquity antennas.
Normally, in a normal year, he would call his main supplier up, and this particular project calls for 41 ubiquity antennas, and he would say, hey, I need 41 ubiquity antennas. No problem, ship. But now, nobody has that. He has to go to one vendor, and he sees two available, he's got to purchase those real quick, and he sees another vendor over here in left field. They may have six. So his concern is gathering enough ubiquity antennas in a timely fashion. He doesn't have a concern with the actual cameras themselves. Mercata seems to have those in stock. We asked him a specific question if the money's got approved by City Council by mid-August. Could you guarantee an end of September completion date? And he said yes, even with the ubiquity scarcity that's going on right now. And also, you start moving, and the chief touched on it with the company's insurance policy. They're not allowed to work on ladders if it's raining or snowing. And what that means is lift rentals. For them to rent lifts to come out and do the whole project in a 2 or 3 or 4 week time span is more efficient, and it saves more money. Versus, we can't come out this week, they got to turn the lift in and then rent it again when they see a good week coming up, no precipitation. So it just gets more complicated if the install is broken up because of weather.
Thank you.
Any additional questions or comments? Very good. You ready to vote? Yeah, Mr. Wilson?
No.
Okay, here we go.
Given all that's been put before us this evening, I know that a lot of research has been done on this. Thank you, Chief Birkbeck. Thank you, Steve, and Janet too. I think it's a good program and a good use of that money that's available to us. So I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Second, Mr. Spiros, I think, on first.
Foy.
Yes.
Widmer.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hanwork.
Yes.
Spiros.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
I move Resolution 3021 be adopted as read.
Second. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Widmer?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hanwork?
Yes.
Spiros?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Very good. Thank you. Move on then to the good of the order. Just a quick note, I sent an email out to, hopefully most of you got it. We will likely have a special meeting next Monday. Can't announce it yet because we don't have the legislation yet, so I don't feel like we should announce it. Perhaps it would still be in order to announce it if we don't have the legislation. I don't know. But anyway, we are waiting on the legislation that we would put on the agenda. As I mentioned, there has been a several hundred million dollar lawsuit, a settlement, I should say, that's been awarded to the state of Ohio for all municipalities in regard to the opioid epidemic and related costs associated with communities to address that. And so we only have a couple of weeks to respond that we would agree to that settlement. So my first thought would be Monday nights are normally reserved for council, of course not normally in August, but we would have an opportunity next Monday to meet for a special meeting to adopt legislation to participate in that settlement agreement. So just put that date on your calendar. We'll likely be here for that. But just hang on here for a couple of days until we actually get that legislation, then we can forward that agenda to you for that. So anyway, that's my comments. Any other comments for the good of the order?
Mr. President,
yes.
We would need to suspend also the mm-hmm. timing on that, so we'll need to verify attendance for sure.
Yeah, we would need six members of council.
You shooting for 7 o'clock again? Or?
Yeah, does that time work for everybody? Okay, very good. It seemed like 6:30 was a little early. I know there's a lot of schedules we're trying to coordinate here, but all right, so we'll think 7 o'clock. And are we permitted then to refer this?
I think so, yes.
All right, very good. Go ahead.
Okay, we have a request from Zimmerman Steel to vacate part of Lake Street by their business that we need to refer to Planning Commission.
Very good. All right, anything else? All right, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Very good.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Foy.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hanwork?
Yes.
Spiros?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Foy?
Yes.
Widmer?
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you very much. We are adjourned.
I wasn't going to make it official. I was just going to say, I learned one thing is that Mr. Wheeler's petty cash account is available for anyone who needs it.
Oh, it is? Okay, then.
Well, you know, I have petty cash account already. There are no things that won't be approved.
Akron does that, I think. Cleveland is. Every